David, and I love our times on Sunday night, don't you? Hey, man.
Amen.
Yeah. It's always great to be able to enter into the house of God on Sunday night and study from the pages of God's eternal word. And we're so glad that you're here with all of us tonight. I can't think of any finer place to be than to be in the house of God, worshiping our Lord. This is just a foretaste of what heaven is really going to be like. By the way, let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you heard from God? Or have you heard from God lately, anytime soon? I was talking with a neighbor the other day about his relationship with God, and coincidentally, one of our widowed ladies called me this week and wanted to know about God, about prayer and things of that nature. And it was an opportunity for me to discuss with her the very things that I'm going to share with you here tonight in this assembly. You know, when we think of God speaking, there are a number of places in the Word of God where God actually did audibly speak and even promised that He would. And in the book of Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 19, the Word of God says, "For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, and He says, thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee." You know, sometimes I've said to people, how does God answer us? You know, we always tell people to pray about certain things. And how does God answer us? You know, I've always believed that there are numerous ways wherein God may answer us. He may answer us through a song. And David, I don't think we always plan what we're going to say or what you're going to sing. I think you picked out the verses and the songs that you lead tonight by the direct intervention of Almighty God. If we don't believe that, you need to quit praying, guard, guide, and direct us. Because I believe that God does guide us and He directs us. And I'm not saying that He speaks to us in a little small voice, but I am saying that God does speak to our heart. And I'm going to tell you why I believe that tonight. Sometimes people ask the question, God, is that you? When you pray, and I really believe this, that when you pray, God will send the answer, just like Jeremiah says and Isaiah says. I believe the answer will come. It may come in the verses of a song. It may come in a particular sermon, maybe with issues that are affecting you as a child of God. It may come through a call that you might receive from a friend or a family member. It is amazing how God does speak. Sometimes God speaks most clearly in the silence that we are often avoiding. We have to open not our ears, but our heart. And I believe that God lays it on your heart. When you are faced with a big decision or a little decision in your life, I am convinced that when we pray about it, that God is going to respond to that prayer. I believe He answers prayer. If He doesn't answer prayer, why are we praying? You know, we have numerous men in this congregation that lead us in prayer on any given Sunday or Sunday night or Wednesday night. And we have to believe that God is going to respond to our prayer, but we have to be on His frequency. You know, there is proper protocol that we have to follow in praying unto God. One of the things we often say is that we pray in His name. For Jesus, and He says, anything that you pray about in my name, you shall receive them. Now, we pray to God, but I think that's not the only protocol in life. I think that we have to make sure that our heart is right with God. You know, you must come before God with a penitent heart. And in the book of Acts chapter 8, when Simon sinned, he was told not to be baptized again, but he was told to repent and pray God that the thought of his heart might be forgiven him. So we have to be on God's frequency. God is speaking to you. Are you listening? Are you listening? How would you know the difference between listening to God and listening to Satan? Well, have you ever heard from God lately, or what did he say? Now, you know, it's amazing sometimes when you think about how God responds to us when we're praying. Sometimes we back up and we say, well, God, what are you trying to tell me? It may be a particular event that is occurring in your life, and it may be God reaching out to you in that way. There was a time when God actually spoke through a donkey. Remember that? Balaam in the Old Testament? That was a strange way, wasn't it, for God to speak? And not only did he do that, but you remember the story of Moses and the burning bush, how Moses had gone to receive the law of God, and God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, Moses, pull off your shoes, for the ground on which you stand is holy ground. That's not your conventional way of hearing from God. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, I believe that God speaks to me audibly. I don't believe that. And I want to say that right up front, but I want to tell you that I do believe that he speaks to our heart. We should pray and let God put it in our heart what we are to do or how we are to live. And let me tell you why I don't believe in the audibility of God to speak to us, but through the Word. For the Bible says that God has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed to be heir over all things, to whom also he made the worlds. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and following. Now, if you go back and you analyze that and you read that, who's he going to speak to us through? Jesus. And Jesus doesn't speak to us audibly, but he speaks to us through his Word. That's why David said, your Word have I hid in my heart. He didn't talk about the relationship he had with God, but he said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And someone said that God speaks to those who take time to listen, and he listens to those who take time to pray. And if we don't believe that God is listening to our prayers and that he responds to our prayers, then we are sadly mistaken. I can tell you the God that I serve, I listen to him through his Word, and he listens to me. He was like Isaiah who said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Sometimes we live in such a busy, busy world that we don't take time for God to speak to us through the Word. We don't. We don't read the Bible very seldom. Do people read it? A lot of times, maybe in preparation for a Bible class or a worship service on Sunday, and I say, please turn to so-and-so, you may read it then, but a lot of people don't. But if you want to hear from God, you better open the Word. Listen to Psalms 139, 7 and 8. David said, whither shall I go from thy presence or from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into the heaven, thou art there. Or if I make my bed in Sheol, that's a word the translators use, the word hell, actually in the New Testament, the King James language. But he says, Sheol, but behold, thou art there. You know why? Because God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He will be with you when you leave this building if you allow him to be with you. We must walk with God and allow him to walk with us. In the book of Psalms 24, we always read 23, but listen to 24, verse 3 and 5. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings of God from the Lord, and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. God still speaks. He speaks to our heart. I believe that. There are times when, and you've heard people say, well, I just feel God right here in my heart. And, you know, sometimes we take issues with people like that that make those kind of statements. I feel God in my heart. I've often been led to believe if you don't feel God in your heart, he probably isn't there. You better feel that he is there. But feelings alone are not sufficient. Solomon said, there is a way that feeleth right or seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Now, to illustrate even further from the words of Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 about the Lord and who he hears, listen to what he says. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save you, neither is his ear dull that he cannot hear you. He can hear you. He listens to you. When we pray, God is listening. That's one thing we need to make sure we know in our heart, that God is listening to the cries of his children. But his ear is not dull that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. That's why I told you a moment ago, in order to really believe that God is going to speak to us through the word, is the fact that we have to be penitent about our sins. And, you know, actually in the book of Acts chapter 9, there is a story about a man who prays. And actually this man was a pagan, but he prayed unto God. And God says, in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness with him is accepted with him. And then he goes on to say that God heareth not the prayers of sinners. Now, when God speaks to our heart, is for one of four reasons. And I'm going to get this quick enough to get you out of here tonight, where you can go home and start praying, okay? Now, number one, he speaks to us through the word, and he speaks to us in our heart. Nothing audible, but in our heart. He places it in our mind. By the way, the word mind and the word heart is used interchangeably in the scripture, and it's amazing study when you go back and you read how often the Bible says that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. What does that really entail? You know, there are just so many places. We obey God from the heart, Romans chapter 6. Well, God speaks to us to change our path. Now, you may be going astray. Maybe no one else in this church knows it. But it just may be that God gets the attention of someone and leads you to go talk to that person. And you may not know why, and the other person may not know why. But God has led you to that individual, and he is trying to change the path upon which we walk. You see, that's what repentance is all about. It's a redirection of life in mind, in emotion, and our behavior. And Christian repentance is redirecting our lives toward God Almighty. Jeremiah 23 again says, O Lord, I know the way of man. Why, it's not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. People ask me all the time, do you believe in the direct intervention of God in our lives? Absolutely. I didn't know there was any other kind. Surely I believe in him and I trust in him. And I hope you do too. And I hope that when you stand up here and you pray, Father, help Dan to be able to recall those things that he has studied and that he will be able to deliver them unto us. Do you believe in the direct intervention of God? Do you believe God's going to do that? I believe God's going to do that. I do believe it. My memory is not the greatest in the world. And God leads me through his word and through speaking to my heart. You know, there's so many times, I could give you so many illustrations tonight. We have had people through the years that were at the point of death and at the hospital, and I felt led to go and be there at a particular time. And when I got there, the individual that I was going to see opened his eyes. We prayed together. I held his hand. And he passed away from this life. And one of those men was the father of our Doug Rader. I'll never forget Audrey and I going by that day, Doug. And we talked to Leroy, his dad. And I just felt, and I used to say, well, I just happened up on someone that was experienced. No, I didn't happen up on someone. I think God directed me. And I think he led me to be there at that particular time. It's not in man to direct his steps. Isaiah 30, 19 through 21 says, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, and thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious. Notice what he says. He will hear, and he will answer us. Now, how's he going to answer us? That's a good question, isn't it? I know the Lord God that the road on which I am walking does not belong to me, Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 10. He said, and that I cannot be my own guide. Keep me on track, Lord, but in gentle. Help me to be gentle. Your anger would destroy me. We all need spiritual direction in our life. And you know what? The difference between who you are and what you want to be is what you do. That's why I tell you all the time that Christianity is not a passive religion. It is an active religion. It's serving God, and it's doing something. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. And disappointments are just God's way of saying, I've got something better. You ever prayed about certain things and you wonder why God didn't give it to you? And it could be, very well be that God is saying, hold on, just hold on. I'm your Father. I know what you need, and I'm going to get it to you in due time. I think that's one of the ways that God answers our prayer. He doesn't always say yes. He doesn't always say no. But sometimes he says, well, you think you figured it out. Wait until you see what's coming down the pike. And I really believe that with all of my heart. And disappointments are God's way of saying there's something better, and there is. But not only does he do that, but secondly, he intervenes in our life to redirect our activities. He speaks to us. Sometimes we get too involved in a lot of things out in the world in which we should not be involved. And we don't have time to evangelize. We don't have time to pray about those that are sick. We mention them every Sunday up here. We put a prayer list out there, but a lot of times people never pick up one. We always have some left. We print about 45 of those, and that has been the consistent number of prayer lists that even I print up each week and make available to you. But do we have time to pray? We sing, take time to be holy, but do we take time to pray? Redirect your activities, change your priorities, and change your life, and it is that simple. And when this life is over, all that we have accumulated, you know what, will be for naught. It's not yours. It's not really yours anyway, even this side of eternity, is it? It really isn't. As long as you own a house, you pay taxes, don't you? You pay taxes on your automobile. You pay taxes. You own it? No, you don't own it. It owns you. It does. Money is temporary. The house is temporary. The car is temporary. Your career is temporary. But God is eternal. Amen. Ask yourself this question. Is it God's will? Is it God's will or my agenda You know, you ask people all the time, well, you know, I've been missing you at church. And I said that to someone this morning. I said, you know, we hadn't missed you. You hadn't been here in over almost 3 months. And I said, we've missed you and we've tried to call you to no avail. He didn't say anything. He didn't even respond to it. He didn't even say, well, I'm thankful that you tried to call me and those kinds of things. Wanted to make me be ugly and get up here and say, it's good to see Joe. He hadn't been here in 3 months. But I wouldn't do that. Make God your first priority, not your last resort. But thirdly, he gets entwined in our life to rebuke us. You ever felt rebuked by God? I have. True Christians rebuke sin and expose it. False Christians practice sin and they defend it. They are friends of the world. And James says in James 4 and verse 4 that a friend of the world is an enemy with God. That's why Paul says, preach the word and be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage or exhort with great patience and careful instruction. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. And then last of all, he gets involved in our life to reiterate his love for you. You know, God has communicated his love to us in so many, many ways. You just stop and think about it. I mean, the greatest way in the world is, and David spoke about that this morning, was the fact that he gives us the blood of his son. And we are covered in blood. That is the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. And in the covering with that blood, the soul becomes pure. And our spirits become white again. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. I hope we all believe that. You know, we should at times, in our ever-changing world, it's reassuring to know that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. In the book of Malachi, God says, I change not. And he doesn't. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. God is love. Why does he listen to you? Because he loves you. Do you listen to him? If that were reversed, how would God feel about it when you say, I love him, or when you sing these great songs of faith about, oh, how I love Jesus? And you don't take time to listen to him. Whosoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John 4 and verse 8. God says, call unto me and I will answer you. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. And I will answer you and show you great and wonderful things. I call upon God all the time for that. God, show me something. And when it comes, I'm convinced it is God. In Isaiah 30, verse 19 through 21, for the people shall dwell in Zion, again in Jerusalem. And when you pray, this scripture says that God is going to answer you. Maybe he's answering you right now in this sermon. Maybe he's answering you in one of the songs, David, that we led a moment ago and others that we're going to sing. Or maybe the words, the encouraging words of a friend. God is calling you. He is calling you. And that's what our invitation song is about tonight. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Are you listening? Are you listening? While we stand and while we sing.